Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Chris. Good to see you all. Look forward to our time together this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Well, Lord, thank you so much for your incredible love and your goodness. We thank you that you are present in this place, that your spirit dwells in this place, that your fire of God, Lord, is already lighting up and lit up in this place. So, Lord, we come before you humbly, come before you with expectation, and ask that you would have your way in us this morning, that you would convict us, Lord. You would convict us of your truth, your love, that we would ask for forgiveness as well for the things that we have done wrong and the ways in which we have looked at you and looked at the world that does not align with your gospel. I humble myself before you and ask that you would preach your word, Lord God, your heart through me. And we lift up all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start out by talking about funerals. Right? Like, wow, it's Sunday morning. We're already talking about funerals. Like, why funerals? Now, I assume most of us have been to at least one funeral, if not multiple funerals. I find that, when I was, as I've been going through my life in my 20s and 30s, I get invited to a lot of weddings. And then in my 40s, I get invited to more and more funerals. Right, and I assume that that's going to be sort of the trend kind of going forward as well. And there's something about funerals that really gives you insights and distills life in a way that really very few other events can. Right, so when I go to a funeral, other than obviously the sadness, right, of the person who's passed away, I get this a clearer picture of the present world and eternity, that our life on earth is temporary, right? And also, what's really important in life and what's really not that important, right? So the verse for today, and this is a verse that I've been meditating on for the last 5 weeks or so, I wanted to share with our community today. It comes from Psalm 90:12, so you can put it up on the screen. Lest you might think I'm an artistic person, I'm not. I just figured out how to use AI. And so God bless whoever's developing AI. I pray that it be used for godly purposes. It's not always, but for godly purposes. This is one of them. So I put in Psalm 90:12, and I said, come up with some nice picture. And this is what it is. So Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is the prayer of Moses, actually. Although it's in Psalms, it's the prayer of Moses that he prayed towards the end of his life. Keep that in mind. Another cool thing with AI, I tried it for the first time. I pasted into the AI box my entire sermon outline. And I said, show me a picture. Show me a picture that summarizes this sermon. Right? So the next picture is that. Take a look. It's a little wordy. Again, the world is good these days for unartistic people like me. It would have taken me months to do that on my own. It took about 5 minutes of a data center sitting somewhere in the world to do that. So that's my sermon. But we do need to unpack that, right? Okay, let's start. So I want to cover three things today, if we can get the first outline slide up. Three things today. So the first one is what, second is why, and the third is how, right? So the first thing I'm going to cover is what does this prayer mean, right? What does this prayer mean? We need to know that. The second is why. Why does God want us to have a heart of wisdom that comes from knowing our time is limited? Why does he want us to live with this heart of wisdom, right? And the third one is how. How do I gain this heart of wisdom. Okay? So the what, why, and how. Let's start with the what first. So the next slide. What does this prayer mean? So this, well, before we go to the next slide, I'm going to show you this picture. Yes, another AI. Yes, yes, yes. I'm not going to explain what this means, but I'm just going to actually go back to that ostrich with his head down. Just look at that for 10 seconds. This is bringing back memories of, you know, I used to take these essays, had to write these essays where they have like a stimulus and you have to write about it. I'm going to unpack that later on in the sermon, but I just wanted to put that in your mind. This is a airport, Hong Kong airport. There's a Cathay Pacific, but a border flight, and there's an ostrich there with its head stuck in the ground. And it's saying, don't say the B word. That's the forbidden word. Don't say the B word. You might be wondering, what is the B word? It'll come later. Okay, next slide. So the first point, what does this prayer mean? There's three parts to that. The first part is teach us. Teach us. This is Moses, probably one of the greatest preachers in the history, wrote so much of the Old Testament, right? Moses is saying, teach us, God, showing that this is not something that would necessarily come intuitively. We need to be taught this. We need to be taught this, right? So let's be humble and know that as we go through our daily lives, we're not going to just naturally realize this on a day-to-day basis. We need to be taught this. That's the first part, right? Second part, number our days. Number our days. Now, obviously, we don't know how many days exactly we have on earth, but what it really means is let us know that our time is limited, that there are a number of days that we have, right? So teach us to number our days that we have temporary on earth and eternal in the future, right? Have that eternal perspective. And then the third part is that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Gain a heart of wisdom. Our heart is the command control center that shapes how we view the world. It shapes how we react to things. It shapes the decisions we make and the actions we take and don't take. Right? So that if our command and control center is filled with the wisdom that comes from knowing our days are limited, our days are numbered, right? There's some wisdom there that God wants us to have, that Moses recognized we need to be taught this thing. Okay, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Why? Why? Why do we need this heart of wisdom? That's my second point. Why does God want us to live life with this heart of wisdom? I think there are many reasons for that. Obviously, it's going to change the way we look and view things. And again, the actions and reactions that we take. I'm going to focus on a few parts. This isn't everything. We don't have time for everything. We're going to focus on a few parts today. The first one, put it on the screen, is to set our hearts on our eternal home and our future with Him. The second one is to help us to overcome fear and hesitation and delayed obedience. So let's take the first one. Set our hearts on our eternal home and future with Him. The first part there, if we know that our time on earth is limited, we got to think about the future, our eternal future. And the most basic, most fundamental part is, are we saved? Are we saved? Right? And if there's anyone in here who's not sure about their salvation, there'll be a time later in the response time when you can put your hand up and say, I need to take care of that. I've numbered my days. I realize I'm going to not be here on earth forever. And I'm not 100% sure where I'm going to be after that. So the most basic one is salvation. An incredibly fundamentally important one. The next one is our perspective on difficulties and suffering on earth. Right? Difficulties and suffering on earth. Well, one of the prayers that we pray a lot is for healing. Pray for healing, right? Let's be honest here, though. At least in my experience, vast majority, if not most of the people I pray for, never get healed on this side of heaven. In fact, some have died, right? But if we have the eternal perspective, there is ultimate healing for everyone. Whether it comes on earth or whether it comes when we pass away, right, into eternity. The suffering that we have today, the pain that we have today, the sickness we have today is not eternal. It's limited. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number the days that we have of suffering, of illness. It is not forever. Take heart. The second part is the blessings. The blessings. Blessings are also not forever. Our human heart and mind has a tendency, anything good we have, we want to have it forever. You look at the old school Disney movies, right? The Prince Charming and the princess get together. They live happily ever after in their most beautiful, youthful state. We know that's fiction. But yet there's something in us that wants that to be true. That we're forever young. And this forever love goes on forever. And I know we know it's not 100% true, but we talk about, in a good way, forever family. This is our forever home. We want things to be forever. But they're not. They're not. And the moment that we latch onto something, whether that be our spouse, our relationship, our career, our children, whatever it is, and we want that thing to be forever, forever, it can easily become an idol. That's where we place our value and our hope. But those things are temporary. Temporary. Teach us to number the days that we have with these things. Teach us to number these days, right? They're limited. They will go away at some point. Enjoy them when you have them. Be thankful for them when you have them. But you won't have that forever. And accept that. Accept that. Now you're probably starting to see a little bit more of the meaning of the ostrich with the head in the sand in the airport. The reality is we will die one day. The reality is everything will come to an end. Whether we're suffering or in blessing, it will come to an end. Whether we have made those our idols or source of depression, whatever it might be, they will come to an end. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom as we view the blessings, the sufferings, the difficulties, the sicknesses that we have. They're limited. They're limited. Let's focus on the blessings just for a little bit more. Koreans have become quite famous for a number of things, and one of them is K-beauty, K-beauty products, right? Forever looking young, right? And you go to Korea, and we were there this summer in a certain place. The entire street is dedicated to helping people look younger, whether through surgery or cosmetics, right? We're obsessed with looking younger, holding on to that fountain of youth, right? And yet we're going to continue to get older, decay. Our days as youth with a youthful skin are limited. The possessions we have, right? We make retirement plans. How do I invest for the future, right? How do we leave a legacy on earth? People name buildings after themselves, monuments after themselves. How does my legacy last forever? But they don't. People will move on. There'll be some people in history who are remembered. Most people are forgotten. That's the reality. The second part. So the first one is to have a wise perspective, right? And focus on our eternal home, eternal future, and how that shapes the perspective of suffering, pain, blessings. The other part is it will, as we live here on earth, to help overcome our fears, our hesitations and delayed obedience. I think that's on the screen as well. To overcome our fears, right? Our perspective on death and our perspective on obedience to God. Our perspective on death. Let's focus on that. We can accept that we die, or we can live in denial that we will die. We live in a city that is in denial. You go into a building and you look for floor number 4, and you will realize we are in denial. People don't want to hear the word "su," right? That's the Mandarin version, I think, right? It sounds like death. The elevators get confused because we skip the 4th floor, right? Anything with a 4. We live in denial that if we somehow don't think about death, it won't happen to us, or it's too depressing to think about, right? Acceptance versus denial. The head above the sand, the head in the sand. We can think of death as an anticipation of our eternal life with God, or we can think of death as we're going to lose everything we have now. The relationships I have now, the possessions I have now, the future that I have now, all these things I'm going to lose if I die. Yes, you'll lose it. Versus, I will gain all these things for eternity when I die. It's a perspective. And if we learn to number our days and gain the heart of wisdom that God has, I believe we will, in a sober way, not in an obsessive way, in a sober way, accept that we're going to die and anticipate that amazing future that we have with God and his people in eternity. The second part of that is obedience to God. How do we view obedience to God? How do we view obedience to God? If we know that today is the last day on earth and we're going to see Jesus in heaven 5 o'clock tonight, and if we have a conviction from God to do something now, and we know we're going to see Jesus at 5 p.m., we're much, much more likely to obey now. We're going to see Jesus at 5 p.m., right? But if we live with the perspective that, you know, today's a Sunday, it will be another Sunday next week, another Sunday next week, I'll live on for, I know I'm not going to live forever, but this cycle will just continue. Yeah, I have a conviction today, but I'll do it sometime later. Or I'm just going to let it bury. I got a kind of conviction during service, but then it's time for lunch, and then I'm going to look forward to Monday. Delayed obedience or disobedience. Very easy if you don't have the eternal perspective. And know that our time is limited on earth. There's an analogy that I'd like to paint for us. No analogy is perfect, but it serves a purpose. I've been to the airport a lot in the last several weeks. And living in Hong Kong, right, we go to airports with a fair number of frequency. There's a certain analogy that life on earth has to being in an airport. So please bring up the picture of the airport. This is not AI, this is Google. Good old-fashioned Google image. So that's the Hong Kong airport, right? You guys will be familiar with that. Imagine if our life on earth is being at an airport. Being at an airport. Okay? If you're at an airport, the goal is to spend just the right amount of time there. All right? And the airport is not the destination. It's not the destination. It's a period of time that you're there. And then you leave the airport. It's a relatively temporary place. What if our life is like being at an airport? Right?
Except the boarding passes look a little different. For us believers, we don't have a physical boarding pass. There's no ticket. It's not even on our phones. It's not a QR code. It's imprinted on our hearts, right? It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, the righteousness that comes from God. That is our ticket. Now, this would have been a little hard to explain back even 5-10 years ago, but now we know you go to Hong Kong Airport, you don't have a ticket. They just look at your face and the gate opens, right? So you can kind of visualize, oh, yeah, when I'm getting on that flight to heaven, I don't have a ticket. I show up. Jesus recognizes me and I get in. The scan happens. Boom. Yes, believer, go through. Right? But as we know, you can't be in the airport forever. At some point, you're going to get on a flight. And we as believers believe there's only two types of flights out there. One, to be with Jesus forever. The other flight, you're not going to be with Jesus forever. You don't want to be on that flight, right? But imagine an airport where people don't know they're going to get on a flight. That this is all there is. There is no flight. In fact, there are people living in corners thinking, okay, let's build our little city here, right? We're going to be here forever. This is my forever family. This is my forever home, right? This is it. You walk past people like that in an airport, you probably think they're a little odd, right? They're building a little, they pitched a tent, right? That they have all these things, they've got a fridge there, right? They got the TV set up. They're ready to live. You're thinking, yo, buddy, your flight will be leaving soon. Don't set up your home here. You're not going to be living here forever. You're going to get on a flight. So let's go to the next image. The ostrich with the head in the sand. Don't say the B word. What's the B word? Yes. I would have forgiven you if you said bye, right? Anyway, boarding. If you're at an airport and somebody says, don't say the B word, don't say the B word. You're like, what's wrong with that person? We're at an airport. We're meant to board flights. And if you have the attitude of don't say the B word, don't say the B word. So no, you will board a flight, except you don't know when your flight's taking off. You don't know. Flight could be taken off in 5 minutes, or it could be 50 years. You don't know when your flight's taking off. Don't say the B word. Here we say, don't say the D word. Don't say four. Oh my gosh, death, no. But if we here have perspective when it comes to getting on airplanes at an airport. You're like, what's the big deal? You're getting on a plane. It's really depending on where your flight's going to go, right? We don't have, and therefore we need to be taught, we don't have that level of perspective when it comes to eternity. We don't, right? We haven't gone to the other side of, you know, earth, to heaven and back. Right? We don't. So therefore, God teach us in the way that we have a perspective when it comes to airports and getting on flights. Help us to have that perspective when it comes to eternity. Death, where is your sting? So obey God today while we're still at the airport. Are there people we need to forgive? Are there promptings of the Spirit that we've buried? Are there people that we have been called to love and disciple and evangelize to who don't have the ticket to heaven imprinted on their heart? Isn't that pretty important? That our loved ones, our friends, our colleagues do not have the boarding pass that we have. Now to the third point, how do we number our days to gain this heart of wisdom? So there's five things. Five things that I would put out there. The first one is pray this prayer. Simple. pray the prayer. I've been praying this prayer almost every day for the last 5 weeks or so. Pray this prayer. Second, be in the Word. Be in the Word. I challenge you to spend more time in the Word than you spend time on scrolling on certain apps that you might have. And you let your mind and your spirit marinate in the truth of Jesus Christ. You will naturally, by the power of the Holy Spirit, get that eternal perspective. When your mind is being filled with the Word of God. Third one, comfort those who mourn. Go to funerals. Go to funerals. Comfort those who mourn. Be part of God's comfort for those who mourn. And stand on the edge of life and death. You will get wisdom that comes. It is very difficult to be at a funeral and not count the number of the days that we have, right? And gain the wisdom that comes from the Lord. The fourth one is, and I'm going to go into that a little bit more. Imagine somebody that you are close with today. And imagine their funeral. Imagine their funeral. And then now come back to present day. What would you do differently today in the airport where this fellow person is still alive? They're there. They might get that B word at any moment. What would you do differently with that person today as you see now this image of them boarding their flight? The fifth one is yourself. Imagine yourself at your own funeral and the people around you mourning and also celebrating the life that you lived. How would that inform what kind of life that you live while you have life? The next slide, please. There's a picture. So I want to introduce my friend. So that's a picture of me 23 years ago. Yes. Look a little bit younger there. did you say better now? Thank you, sir. Yes. the picture there is a little, you know, it's an old one. So anyway, yes. Back then, I don't think I even washed my face and it was good skin. Now I have to like actually wash it and put cream on and stuff. But anyway, I was young back then, 20-something. And this was me in Washington, D.C. at a missions trip with a group of people. And I'm honing on my friend Joseph there, who's about my age. One of my closest friends. Really good guy. Funny, super kind, wise, just a, you know, I could feel like we're almost like brothers from the same mother, right? And if there's anyone else on earth that I thought, man, he's my peer, but I love the guy, I love hanging out as a friend, but I really, really respect everything he says, and he really cared for me, really, really cared for me in a way that more than probably most other friends that I have, right? Just really good guy, loves the Lord. His parents are super strong Christians. Him growing up at home, he grew up in Vancouver. They would have family EMP every morning. Every morning, family EMP and Korean style, right? It's not just like, you know, a few people chat and that's it. They sing like two hymns. They get on their knees, they pray. They pray Korean style, right? That they did that. He did that growing up. Him and his two younger sisters, that was their life. And so he was a really wise, loving, godly guy. And I went to, he got married a little bit later, went to his wedding in Shanghai about 4 or 5 years ago, a glorious celebration and whatnot. And so he was living in Bangkok. And, you know, life kind of moves on, right? You know, I'm busy with my life here. He's busy with his life there. And so we would call each other once a while. We'd text each other. And I'd say, hey, you know, his Korean name is Pyeongdo. His English name is Joseph. I'd say, yo, Pyeongdo, hey, come visit Hong Kong sometime. We'll hang out. He's like, yeah, come visit Bangkok sometime. We'll hang out. Before that, he was in Manila and before that in Korea. So we met, you know, now and then. But since COVID, we hadn't met. Since his wedding, we hadn't met. And so, but, you know, let's hang out sometime, right? So seven weeks ago or so, I was in Beijing. It's a few of us here at the SB Beijing retreat.
And I get a note, a message, and an email from his younger sister saying, hey, Chris, Joseph is in a critical condition. His critical condition. He had a heart attack. He's a healthy guy. One of his last messages to me was to say, Chris, make sure you do exercise, stay healthy, and take care of your family. Right? That was one of his last messages to me. And he was a strong guy. He worked out. You know, once he was telling me I should be doing deadlifts or something, he said that was good for my legs and whatever. He was like giving me this advice. And he was in the medical profession as well, right? Medical profession. He got the heart attack while he was in the hospital. But it was so bad that even though they did whatever treatment on him, he was on life support. Life support. And so we prayed for him. And then, you know, things happen in life. So I got the message in the afternoon on a Saturday. That evening, I shared at SP Beijing Retreat. And then when I came back to the hotel room after I preached, I got the message that he passed away. So see the next picture. This is 5 weeks ago in Vancouver, right? 5 weeks ago in Vancouver. You know, obviously, he's a close friend of mine. So God prompts me, I will go to comfort those who mourn, right? And so I went to Vancouver and went to his funeral. And I gave a eulogy there as well. So that is a graveyard in Vancouver just 5 weeks ago. And you'll see sort of in the middle of that table, there's a little white sort of a cloth-looking thing. That's his ashes that they brought back from Bangkok. And I was the person who brought that jar of ashes from the car into that table. And it was surreal. It was so surreal to be at the funeral, obviously incredibly sad. Anytime a child dies and the parents are still alive, that is very, very sad. Parents having to bury their children, right? And so I'm carrying my friend that I laughed with, had so many meals with, prayed with, worshiped with, went to missions trip with. And it was surreal walking, quote unquote, with him about 30 meters from the car to the gravesite of him. And I was like, you are now ashes. You're now ashes, right? And I shared with you before, and I challenge you now to think about that. If I were sitting in your seat today, right, and someone got up and shared what I'm sharing now and said, imagine your friends or someone you're very close with, their funeral. Imagine actually attending that. And then going back to present, how would that change what you do today? Right? I did not think that Joseph would die. Of the however hundreds of people that I know today that I'm in friendship, relationship, acquaintanceship, whatever with, I would have put him relative towards the bottom, given how healthy he was and relatively young he was, mid-40s. I would have not put him on the top of the list. I'd be thinking maybe my parents or, you know, whatnot. Not Joseph. And yet he went. Right, he went. We can keep that picture up for a minute. If I had seen this picture, and if I'm sitting in the congregation and I thought, geez, I wonder if that's Joseph. If that's Joseph, what would I do? And I thought about it, and this is what I would have done, right? Even though, yes, I have family, you know, I've got a lot of obligations and at work and others, right? I would have, if I knew he would have died in July this year, right? At some point in the last 12 months or 18 months, I would have said, hey, Joseph, it's been a while. You know, we're kind of, you know, a little bit older now, like the old days. Let's go on a friend trip, a brother trip, right? You and me, let's go on a trip. And he'll say, yeah, where should we go? I would say, let's go to Vancouver. Let's go to Vancouver. I've never been to your hometown. I'd love to go to your hometown. I want to see where you grew up. I want to meet your I know their parents. I know his parents. Let's go spend some time with your parents, man. Let's go spend some time with your parents. And I probably would have set up a cheesy dinner with his parents, Joseph and me. And I would have said, hey, Joseph, why don't you tell your parents how much you appreciate them, right?
And I might have gone back to the living room or something, pull out my guitar, have a little worship session, right? You know, sing some hymns together, because the parents love singing hymns in Korean. And say, Joseph, why don't you pray for your parents? Parents pray for your Joseph, right? And just thank God together. I think that's what I would have done. But I would not have imagined that. And I didn't even think about that, because I didn't think he would be in this position. One of the most touching things that I saw at his funeral. So there's an order of service. Korean funerals are kind of follow the Korean traditional worship service too. There was an order of everything. And you get this, like the agenda when you get in. And one of the items I've never seen at a funeral before. You know, we do the offering song, right? Group comes up, does an offering song. There was an equivalent of that, not an offering, but a special song performance. And the performance was Joseph's parents and his two sisters, right? The people who are mourning the most. They came up and they sang a hymn that they used to sing every time they did EMP as a family, this time without Joseph. Even in their pain, they worshiped God. And they said, this is the last time with Joseph and his body together that we're going to give glory to God. It was one of the most beautiful things that I saw. So now you probably understand why I've been meditating on Psalm 90 verse 12 for the last 5 weeks. As if that wasn't enough. So I come back. I was in Korea at the time with my family for 2 weeks. In the middle weekend, I went to Vancouver, came back. And I set up a health checkup. Koreans are very into health checkups. So if you're a Korean adult, it's living in Korea, almost guaranteed you would have had a health checkup every year, every 2 years. Like the government actually pays you, covers the cost of that, right? So there's all these health centers set up specializing in health checkups, right? They do blood and everything, right? You pay a bit more money, get the premium service, like they do all sorts of others, check on you. So one of my cousins set up a health clinic in Seoul. And so he does these health checkups. And so I wanted to give him some business, so I signed up. And I was scheduled to go that Thursday. So I came back from the funeral on Monday morning, and I was scheduled to go to the checkup on Thursday. So I went to the health checkup, and I've been through a number of these before. They're kind of similar, you know, wherever you go. And there's always a part where they make you lie down on this on this bed thing, right? And then they do like an ultrasound, this mobile ultrasound thing. And, you know, for those of you who've kind of been in the room when your wife's gotten pregnant or if you're the person got pregnant, you know, they kind of squeeze that gel on you and then they had this thing that they you know, rub on, you know, they go and take some pictures and whatnot. And you're lying in bed and you see a screen and there's like a big screen that's the live screen, right? So it's all kind of black and white. I don't even know what's going on. And then there's still pictures. There's four still pictures that they, I guess they take pictures and then, you know, the four representative pictures are there. And I know how this, I've done this number of times. It's a nurse who kind of does this, make some tests, and then like off I go to the next stop, right? Because I've got to do like 10 different places I need to go. And I was like, okay, it's been about 2 years since I did my last health checkup, but I'm pretty sure this nurse is going much longer than the last one, right? So I'm doing this, I'm like, you know? And at this point, I'm getting a little nervous, right? And it's just me and the nurse in the room, and my ears are listening. What I'm listening for is any noise coming from the nurse, right? If the nurse goes, ah, then I'm like, oh no, I'm in trouble, right? This is an experienced person. And if she sees something that's like, ah, right? But the nurse was like, typing on something, right? And then she would sigh. She's like, I was like, oh my God, right? This is not good. And then in the first time ever in my health checkup, she says, turn on your side. I was like, I've never had to turn on my side. So I turn on my side, right? And she's like, and I'm like, she's like squeezing hard into me, like my ribs and stuff, right? I'm like, you're kind of squeezing hard here. And she's like making these grunting sounds, right? And then she like types in a bunch of things. And then my cousin, who's like the head doctor there, he comes in. Right? He doesn't like stroll in and say, oh, hey, Gaga, you know, well, he's like, he storms in, right? He takes the ultrasound, he's like doing this thing on me, right? He's like, oh, Gaga, get on the side, like, right? And then I'm looking at the screen, right? So there's the live screen and there's the four still screens. On the two of the still screens, I see a red part, right? It's colored in red, right? And then there's this green arrow that the nurse drew to that red thing, right? So two of the pictures had this red thing and the other two pictures were whatever. And the live screen, I couldn't, it was a black and white. I was like, what is that? Is that my pancreas? Oh no, I hear if you get pancreas cancer, you die in 6 months, right? So for the next 5 minutes, I'm thinking, the time has come, right? I actually thought, as a practice, I should tell PSAM I need to be on the EMP prayer list, right? I just came back from this funeral. I had this red thing. I don't know what it is, but there's a green arrow pointed at it. Doesn't look good, right? I was like, my time has come. And my prayer at the time was, God, help me be strong. Like whatever lies ahead, help me be strong. Because I'm feeling a lot of fear right now, right? There's a lot of thoughts that come in, like, what about this? What about that? What about this? You know, all these things, right? Thankfully, it turns out it wasn't anything major, something to keep an eye on. A nurse thought it was 1 centimeter, but he was like, I heard him say, hey, it's only 0.1 centimeter, you know? So anyway, something to keep an eye on. So I'm not completely out of the woods. And he said, I'm fine. So I'm going to believe him at that, right? But I realized on that hospital bed, I don't have the wisdom that comes from numbering my days. I was like, don't say the B word. Don't say the B word. I'm not ready for the B word. I'm not ready. I'm only 47. I'm not ready for the B word, right? I have a family, young kids. I can't do it. I did not have that perspective. God needed to do a deeper work in my heart. And just to cap it off, so I was in Singapore the week before last, and I was on a business trip, and I was in a, you know, in Singapore, instead of Uber, you use Grab, right? That's the app that people use. So I got a Grab from the hotel. I'm on the way to the Changi Airport. And for those of you who've been to Singapore, you know there's like a long stretch of freeway. Long stretch of freeway as you go through all the local roads, and then there's a freeway, and then you get to the airport. So I'm 5 minutes away from the airport. And by the way, some really cool things happen in Singapore with ministry and stuff. So I was like praising God. I was texting, praise God, whatever, right? And I'm sitting in the back seat. And, sometimes the driver kind of brakes hard and you're kind of like, whoa, right? But this time the driver goes, whoa, and then he completely brakes. Like the 100% brake. Like we got to stop as quickly as possible brake. So, you know, it all happened like 0.5 seconds. My body tenses up. I look, and then we crash into the car in front of us, right? Crash, right? So we crash into the car and we're in the middle lane of like a 4-lane freeway, right? Thank God there wasn't a car behind us that crashed into our car, right? The car behind us swerved around, right? So I was safe from that. So the moment, and for those of you who've been in a car crash, the moment you crash, I was thinking, okay, am I okay? Right? You start, your end of your fingers, your toes, okay, my spine okay? And the driver's like, are you okay? I was like, I think so. I said, are you okay? He's like, I think so. And then he got out and his hands were shaking, actually. He was so shaken up by that. I was like, wow. Because I haven't really been in car crashes before. So it was a bit of a new experience for me. It actually happened. So we're in the middle of a freeway for like 10 minutes. And I was thinking, this is where the practical part comes in. I think I'm okay. My knees got scraped a bit. But I was like, how do I get to the airport now? How do I call a Grab from the middle of a freeway, right? I couldn't find out an answer. Because I have so much luggage, because it was a 5-week trip. This was the end of it. So I had a ton of luggage. I was like, I'm 5 minutes away by car. This is about 40 minutes by walking in Singapore, hot and humid. And how do I even cross the road from the freeway? Where do I tell the Grab? Like, come to the crash site, right, in the middle of the freeway. By the way, the Apple Watch is pretty cool. So after I crashed, the Apple Watch guy's going, dee, dee, dee. Looks like you've been in an accident. We will call the police in 20 seconds. Countdown. Doot, doot. I was like, no, cancel, I think, right? I'll let the drivers take care of it. Apple Watch. For those of you who carry those really other watches, hey, it comes in handy. Even in Singapore on roaming. I don't need any more reminders at this point that our time on earth is limited, right? Our days are numbered. And my goal in my relationships, in the way I view myself, the people around me, the way I view possessions, career, future, right? I'm praying that my perspective has changed. And I do need to be taught on a regular basis to number my days, right? And live with that wisdom. And that's my prayer for us. So why don't we stand together and invite the worship team to come up. Again, not to be morbid, but I do want to bring up the picture of my friend Joseph at his funeral. That is not a picture that I imagined I would be talking about. Absolutely did not imagine. Let the Holy Spirit superimpose in your mind right now where Joseph's face is. With even just one person that you know. That day will come. We can live in denial, we can live in acceptance. That day will come. How would it change what you do today, this week, knowing that? Just want us to think about that for the next 30 seconds. Now I want to encourage you. Again, with the Holy Spirit at your side, so that we don't fall into this irrational fear, right? Or obsession in the wrong direction, but godly wisdom. This is what we want. Imagine your own face there. Imagine your own face where Joseph's face is. I have done that. The day after Joseph died, I woke up and said, God, why do I get to live and Joseph didn't get to see today? I saw Joseph's parents at his funeral. I said, why do my parents get to have their son on earth, but Joseph's parents no longer have their son on earth? In God's wisdom, he has his time, but we are all numbered. That day will come for us when that face is our face, my face, your face. If we accept that, if we embrace that, what does that mean for how we live our lives today? How we live our lives today. Let's just meditate on that for the next minute. One thing we can do is with the life and the breath that we have right now, because we are alive, we can worship the Lord. I'm going to ask Gabby and the team to lead us. Let's worship Him.
Draw me close to You. You are my the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you.
Eyes closed. If you don't have a relationship with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, if you've never said the sinner's prayer, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And I'm going to say a prayer. You can repeat after me in your hearts, and feel free to come to the front afterwards to pray together with me afterwards as well. So pray, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. I ask that you'd forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Lord Jesus, we thank you that, yes, we're living here in this temporary life on earth. You've shown us the way. You have taught us the prayer to pray, that we may live with wisdom each day that we have here on earth. And I pray that for all of us, that this day forth forever until through eternity to the end of our lives, Lord God, that we would live with your wisdom in our hearts, and that would color the way we look at life, ourselves, people around us, where we look at you, eternity, to obey today, to live without fear, without hesitation, that is not from you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you shalom, peace, shalom, from this day forth and forth forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'd like prayer, please feel free to come to the front. There'll be people to pray with you. God bless and have a wonderful Sabbath Sunday.